Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Philippians, the second chapter. In this transition that we're making from the pastoral model of the church to the apostolic model of the church, it puts, it empowers everyone in the church. Do you realize that the word laity does not exist in the Bible? What laity is? Laity is the membership or the, let me say it like that, like I really won't say it. Laity is another word, a cold word or a religious word for common folk. That's what the laity means. Laity means that there are some people in the church without certain rights, and there are other people in the church with more rights. And that's just not the case. The word does not exist in the Bible. The Lord, last time I ministered, the Lord spoke to me about, he said, I've given you time.
Yes, sir.
I've given you a voice.
Yes, sir.
I've given you my word.
Yes, sir.
Before I walked out here tonight, the Holy Spirit say he's also given us his mind.
Yes,
so now what are you going to do with it? See, there's no excuses for anybody. See, remember now, let's eliminate this. There's no such thing as laity. No such thing as laity. Ephesians 4, God gave us five gifts in verse 11 to produce verse 12. Mature the saints, prepare them for the work of the ministry. And because of the saints being matured and they are doing the work of the ministry, that is how the body of Christ is going to be built. The body of Christ is not going to be built by just the fivefold.
That's right. That's right.
So that means there has to be a level of maturity that comes in us.
Yes, sir.
All right. And so I've given you time. I've given you a voice,
yes,
meaning you can communicate with God. He's given us his word.
Yes.
We know what he wants. We know we have a foundation. We are in a better position than Adam and Eve. We're in a better position than Abraham. We're in a better position than Moses, because Moses had to get the law.
Yes.
He had to go get it. Abraham didn't have this. He didn't have the canonized Bible, the canonized word of God. He didn't have an apostle Paul revealing things to them that they can work with.
That's right.
We have it better. So we have his word.
Yes.
We have a place. We have a starting position.
Yes.
And we have his mind. Turn with me to Philippians. I told you Philippians.
Yes, sir.
The second chapter.
Yes, sir.
I want you to see something here. Philippians, the second chapter. And the fifth verse. Now, watch what it says. Now, I need you to see this. I need you to see this from an apostolic point of view, because when we read this, it's not going to be something that you're going to do. It is something that you're going to allow.
Yes, sir.
He says, let this mind be in you.
Yes.
Other words, this is not something that you have to attain.
Right.
This is something that you have to allow.
That's right, yes, sir.
It's not something, this is not something that you have to put forth effort on your own power to get. This is something that has been given to you and you have to allow it to take over.
Yes,
all right. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Do you realize that is what has happened to you?
Yes, sir.
The exact same thing has happened to you. Your mama and your daddy didn't decide you was going to be here.
That's right.
Matter of fact, they had no idea it was going to be you.
Right.
It was God decided.
Yes.
So you left heaven with the same mindset as Christ. Jesus died on the cross so you can attain, so you can let this mind be in you.
Yes.
I need you to see, I've given you time.
Yes.
I've given you a voice.
Yes.
I've given you my word. And I've given you my mind. What are you going to do with it? Look at verse 12. Verses 6 through 11 shows the result of Jesus letting that mind be in him. All verse 6 through 11 is saying is that he was able to fulfill his purpose of why he was on earth, of why he was sent to the earth. Now, remember now, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in him. So when you allow this mind to be in you, that means you open the door for God to use you to fulfill his will in the earth realm through you.
Right.
All right, watch this. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians, not as in my presence alone only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in the fivefold. That's what it says? You. For it is God which worketh in me, you, me, us.
Yes.
Not just the fivefold. To will and to do of his good pleasure. But you have to allow this mind to be in you. Now, what it means to allow? It simply means that you're going to have to take time to acquaint yourself with this mind.
Yes, sir.
Because this mind is not automatic. Why is this mind not automatic? Because we got a sin nature. And the sin nature is a distraction to this mind. So we have to allow our time with the Word, time with the Holy Spirit, time with the Father, allow us to renew our minds so that we can allow the same mind that was in Christ to be in us.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Gone are the days of you facing a challenge and needing somebody else to pray for you.
Yes, sir.
Gone are the days where you face a challenge and you not know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, gone are the days that you don't know how to get into the holies of holies to find out what to do. He's given us time. He's given us a voice. He's given us his word. And he's given us his mind. Turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Excuse me. I need to go over this because some people still think that it's somebody else. They still think it's somebody else that's going to operate in the word of knowledge. Some of you here still thinking, watching me online, you're still thinking it's going to be somebody else that operates in special faith. Oh, I'm not qualified to operate in it. I'm not qualified. I'm not deep enough. Deepness ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
It's openness and willingness.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Are you available?
Yes.
Are you available? Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want you, we're going to read this parable that Jesus gave. We're going to read it from, of course, an apostolic point of view. We've learned it from a pastoral point of view, but we're going to read it tonight and study this from an apostolic point of view. And I keep repeating myself because I keep repeating on purpose because this transition we're making is very important. You have no idea of where your life is headed. You have no idea what kind of authority that you are walking in, that you are about to become aware of. You have no idea. You have no idea what kind of power will emanate from you. I didn't say emanate from somebody else. I said emanate from you.
Yes,
sir. 25th chapter. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, or heaven's ways of doing things, be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye or know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, under the pastoral model, you think that's talking about going to heaven. It's not talking about going to heaven. It's not talking about going to heaven at all. It says how the kingdom of heaven works. So what this 25th chapter is telling us is trying to differentiate for us the difference between somebody who is prepared to have this mind in them,
yes,
and those who are not. It can't be talking about going to heaven because you ain't got to do nothing extra to go to heaven. You say, prove it to me. What about the thief that was on the cross with Jesus?
Right.
They ain't done nothing but just said, Jesus, I'm going to go with you. Jesus said, okay, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. They ain't did nothing else. So they ain't talking about heaven. It's easy to get to heaven. All you got to do to get to heaven is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
But I know people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior on their way to heaven, but catching hell down here.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be.
Amen.
That should not be. So it says it has five wise versions and five foolish versions. Now let's look at this. Let's see what they had in common. Because we have to find out what they didn't have in common. So let's start off by looking at what they had in common, because when we go through this, you'll see that they all had everything that in common. It was something that the foolish did that the wise, are you getting this?
Yes.
It's something the foolish did that the wise didn't do.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, let's watch this. Watch this. All right. They had the same lamp.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
They had the same all.
Yes.
Watch this. They had the same access to all.
Yeah.
They had, obviously, they had the same vessel to carry the all in.
Yes.
Because the wise told them, no, we're not giving you 9 hours. Go to the cellars and get your own. So that means they had a vessel to carry extra all too.
Yeah.
They had the same rest. They had the same time frame to work with. They had the same opportunity to meet the bridegroom. Listen, what it means to meet the bridegroom? It simply means an opportunity to fulfill God's will for your life. That's what it means to meet the bridegroom, to fulfill God's will for your life. You're already going to heaven.
That's right.
That's already said and done. When you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're already going to heaven. But watch this. If the main purpose of salvation was for you to go to heaven, why are you still here? If that was the main reason for you getting born again was to go to heaven, why are you still here? Because if the main reason for you getting born again was to go to heaven, poof, as soon as you accept him, you should have been gone. So why are you still here? So that means, watch this. That means you're going to meet the bridegroom over and over. And meeting the bridegroom simply means, Jesus used parables to give, he used earthly examples to give heavenly meanings. When he talk about bridegrooms, he's actually talking about covenant.
Yes, sir.
He's talking about covenant. Covenant meaning two people coming together to accomplish something.
That's right.
He used covenant, used the bridegroom to mean marriage, because marriage is a covenant. Two people coming together to do what? There's no real purpose of marriage. The real purpose of marriage is two people, a man and a woman.
Uh-huh.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear. A man and a woman come together to, watch this, to one can put 1,000 flight.
Yes,
two can, so one can do good things for God, two can do more.
Yes,
and then on top of that, God said, I want you to procreate so you can pour yourself in them so my plan can continue.
Yes.
Covenant.
Yes,
so when Jesus was using the bridegroom in this parable, he was simply meaning that a covenant was taking place, meaning that the five wise and five foolish had an opportunity to meet with the bridegroom and come into covenant to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Are we setting this up? Because I need you to get out of the thought process that it was just talking about going to heaven, because it's not. It's not just talking about going to heaven. It is talking about you having an opportunity to come in covenant with Jesus to accomplish what God has called you to do. That's why you have the same, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, right? So when you come into covenant with the bridegroom, y'all have the same mindset.
Yes, sir.
You're going in the same direction.
Yes, sir.
You're willing to accomplish the same thing. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So they're the same all, same lamp, same access to all, same vessel to carry all, same time frame, same opportunity to meet the bridegroom. Now watch this. Now remember now, Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Jesus used earthly stories to convey spiritual or supernatural ideas. Watch this. They had the same money. All right? Now watch this. Forget the earth realm and meaning of money right there. Because in this parable, money don't mean money. I can tell what y'all looking at me. Y'all waiting for me. Money doesn't mean money in this parable. You know what money represents in this parable? Time. Time. You know what all represents in this parable? The Holy Spirit. So watch this. What was the difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgin? The difference between the two is how they spent their time. Yes, sir. That's the only difference with the two. Wow. The difference between being wise and being foolish is what you do with your time.
Yes, sir. That's good.
I've given you time.
Yes, sir.
I've given you a voice.
Yes, sir.
I've given you my word. Right. I've given you my mind. What you gonna do with it? The only difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins is how they spent their time.
That's good.
The five wise virgins went and bought extra oil.
Yeah.
What that mean? They bought extra oil. It means they took their time and spent it more with the Holy Spirit than the five foolish virgins.
Yeah.
So watch this. So when the bridegroom came, they were anointed and prepared and understood the assignment.
Yes.
As compared to the ones that didn't spend time. When the bridegroom showed up, they weren't prepared. Unanointed, not where they're supposed to be, don't know what's going on. That has nothing to do with the fivefold. It has nothing to do with the fivefold, whether you are prepared or not.
That's good.
See, in the apostolic model of the church, impartation is being released.
Yes.
That's information and anointing combined, imparted.
Yes.
So that means it's up to you to receive it and work with it.
Yes, sir.
So that means when you spend time with the Word, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, then it's easy for you to let the Holy Spirit have His way.
Yes, sir.
See, two things are going on when you spend time with God, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit. Two things are going on. You get to know God,
yes,
and God is getting to know you.
Yes.
You get to know God, and God is getting to know you. What it means God is getting to know you, it's not that God don't already know you. It's the fact that you're giving God a chance to put in you what needs to be put in you and pull out of you what needs to be pulled out of you. Now remember now, it is God who both to will and to do His good pleasure through you. Not through the fivefold, through you.
Yes.
So you can't be like the five foolish and be unprepared, unanointed, because you hadn't spent no time. Let me tell you something. Coming to church is not you spending time. We come to church to train.
Yes, sir.
About God's agenda.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But it's impossible for Apostle. It's impossible for me, Montrell, Ledoux, Larry, Calhoun. It's impossible for any of us, watch this, to know what God wants to do with you.
Right.
It really ain't our business. Because here in this 25th chapter, Jesus came to meet the virgins.
Yeah.
The Bible didn't say he come to meet the fivefold.
That's good.
The only difference between the wise and the foolish was how they spent their time.
Yes.
Their money, Jesus was talking about money, and this, it wasn't talking about cash. It wasn't talking about coins. It was talking about time. Turn with me to, turn with me to Revelations, the third chapter. See, these things, you're going to have to become disciplined,
yes,
which is the root word for
disciple.
Discipline, meaning I got to position myself to spend time. Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law should not depart out of your
mouth.
I've given you a voice.
Yeah.
But thou shalt
meditate.
Put it on the screen. I want people to see it.
Yes, sir.
Day and night.
Yeah.
You see that? Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Here's the part. For then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have good success. Let me ask you this question. Here, we're about to see Joshua 1:8 right now in action. In the 25th chapter of Matthew's, these verses. Who was responsible for meeting the bridegroom? What did the five wise ones do that the five foolish didn't do? Who was responsible for that?
They were.
Yeah. It was a decision that they made that put them in a position to be prepared to meet the bridegroom, and then put them in a position not to be prepared for the bridegroom.
Yes.
It was the five wise that made their way prosperous. Jesus' mind is already made up about you. His mind is already, see, this is why sin is so easy to overcome. It's so easy to overcome because anybody can come into the throne room of grace. Anybody, listen, everybody got this money.
Yes.
Everybody got this money called time.
Yes.
How you spend it is up to you.
That's good.
Everybody got this money called time. I was talking to a young man today. He was like, man, I'm trying to get my life right and was not. And I said, man, listen to me. Every time you sin, make a mistake, I need you to do me a favor. He said, what? I need you to run to the throne room of God and say, God, forgive me. Help me. Don't run away. Run to. Because watch this. Every time you sincerely go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, then that's when his grace kicks in to empower you. So everybody got this money.
Yes, sir.
Everybody got this money. Anybody who you got time?
Yes, sir.
Everybody here got time. Are you breathing?
Yes,
you got time.
Yes, sir.
Revelations, the third chapter. Watch this. Revelation, the third chapter. Let's start at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is Jesus talking. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at verse 18. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest what?
See.
Look what Jesus said. He said in the beginning, he said, I counsel thee to what? To buy. Buy of me gold. Buy of me. Otherwise, he asks you to buy from him gold. See, you got to see what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I need you to take your time and come get what's valuable. That's how you become hot. When you come to church and you do your religious duties, your civic religious duties, and don't spend no time with me outside, you're lukewarm. Yeah. And therefore, when the opportunity comes for me to use you, you are unaware.
Yeah.
You have no clue I'm trying to use you.
That's good.
You don't even know what I'm trying to do with you.
Yeah.
And then it looks like I don't know you because it looks like I'm not using you, but I want to use you the whole time. He said, come and buy gold from me. What's valuable? Not only did he say, watch what he said. He said, buy of me gold tried in fire. When you spend time with the Father, when you spend time with Jesus, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you are exchanging your time for his intelligence. You are changing your time for his power. You're changing your time for his grace, his favor.
Yes.
Stuff that has been tried, that cannot fail.
Yes. Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
This is how the second part of Ephesians 4 and 12 is going to be accomplished. See, the work of the ministry is the bridegroom coming for you.
Yes, sir.
That's why the first part has to be done. You have to mature.
Yes, sir.
You don't have time to call apostle and say, apostle, is God talking to me?
Yeah.
You're gonna figure that out when you spend time with him. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah, yes, sir.
The voice of a stranger they will not follow. My sheep, he say, my sheep, meaning those that follow me,
yes,
will learn to recognize my voice.
Yes.
So if you don't spend time with him, you will never learn how to hear the voice of God if you don't spend time with him.
Right.
You will never hear, you'll always be questioning, is that God talking to me?
Yes.
You got to get to a point in your life where you know it's God talking to you. And the way you get there is not how deep you are, it's by how much time, how much money you spending.
Yes.
How much time are you spending?
Yes. I see that time.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Jehoshaphat. Watch this now. People miss this. Jehoshaphat had five armies come against him. And this is in the Old Testament, right? Watch. This is the Old Testament. In old time, he had five armies coming against him. He said, I don't know what to do. What he said, but my eyes are on you. Meaning who? God. His eyes wasn't on the fivefold. His eyes were on God. Then God moved upon the fivefold. See, well, we in the pastoral model, we've been having our eyes on the fivefold, then want God to move. But God say, but Joseph say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Yes.
Then the Bible say the Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophet Jehazel.
Yes.
After Jehoshaphat acknowledged God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Yes.
other words, Jehoshaphat turned to God and said, God, I'm spending time with you. Then God said, okay, I'm going to move. In the Old Testament, God was limited to how he could move. So he moved how he could. But then these days, you are the prophet Jehazel. Come on, grab that. Grab that. See, in this day, because the curtain was rent from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross and the Spirit of God was not contained in a space, geological space no more, is now was free to move around the earth and hover and move in who he wanted to move in. Those that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, a new creature in Christ, you have a new way to operate. You don't have to go through Prophet Jehazel to hear from God no more. God can talk to you. How is the cry about a crisis going to be built, edified, the third part of the 12th chapter, if you can't hear from God? That means we're expecting a fivefold to build a body of Christ, and that ain't the way Christ designed it. Christ designed it for the fivefold to train us to do the work of the ministry. What it means to do the work of the ministry? In your everyday life, you on call for God. Do you know the difference between the five wise and the five foolish virgins? The five wise were able to be used by God. The five foolish were not. Those that spend time with God are going to be noticed by the world. Do you realize that, I can't remember what church it was in Revelations, but it was one of the churches where Jesus was telling them, wake up. You're asleep. In other words, you look like everybody else. Your life looks like everybody else. Your life, you getting the same outcome as everybody else. As believers, we ought to be having outcomes that's different. We might face the same situation, but our outcomes ought to be different. And it's going to be different based on what we do with our time. How much of that money you spending? Oh, man, watch this. Go to Isaiah 55.
That's it.
Isaiah 55.
Come on, sir.
See, I got to get you to position. The gifts of the Spirit ain't just going to jump on you.
No.
The gifts works as the Spirit wills.
Yes.
It works when the Holy Spirit wants them to work. But you got to be open to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You got to be prepared.
Yes, sir.
You got to be alert. You have to be aware. You have to know when God is trying to move and get involved with what he's doing.
Yes, sir.
You're not just going to automatically know when God is moving.
No.
You're not just going to automatically know that. You get to know that when you spend time with him.
Yeah.
God has so many ways of moving that you're going to have to spend time with him to get familiar with how he moves. Because how he moves with you is not going to be the same how he moves with apostles. So you got to get familiar with how God moves with you. If you don't spend, see, apostles know how God moves with him. Because he spent time. But you can't rely on his time spent with God. Oh, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're trying to rely on his time spent with God so you can hear the voice of God. It don't work like that. You got to spend time with God so you'll find out how God moves with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, God moves a different way with you than he would with apostles. Simply because of calling alone. Now, we haven't even talked about personality. We haven't even talked about background, where we come from. Well, watch this, how I know this. When Samuel was living with Eli, Samuel heard his name called. He thought it was Eli. Eli ain't heard nothing. The priest that was training Samuel didn't hear nothing. He ran to Eli and said, yes, sir, you need something? Eli, I ain't call you. Go back to sleep. Go back to bed. Samuel went back to bed. He heard the voice again calling his name. He thought it was Eli. Mind you, Eli ain't heard nothing. This is the man training Samuel. He didn't hear anything. Why he didn't hear anything? Because God wasn't trying to talk to Eli. He was trying to talk to Samuel.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So he came again, and then watch this. Here's the purpose of the fivefold. He heard the voice again, went back to Samuel. Eli perceived that it was the voice of God and said, hey, this time, when you go back, say, Lord, here am I. What would thou have me to do?
Yes.
Eli represented what the fivefold is supposed to be doing for us, training us to hear the voice of God. Because there is some things that God has for you to do in your everyday life that apostle has nothing to do with. To do the work of the ministry. In order to do the work of the ministry, you have to have the ability and the access to have all those gifts working in your life. You can lay hands on the sick and they recover. What do you think the gifts of healing is? That's you laying hands on somebody else in the world system and the power of God flowing through you.
That's right.
The pastoral model had it stuck in the church. We around here laying hands on each other. Did I say that we ain't supposed to be laying hands on each other?
No.
Did I say that?
No.
No, I didn't say that. But at some point, you don't need no hands laid on you.
That's right.
That's right. At some point, my mama told me, you're not getting another bottle. Lauren, never forget, Lauren was we were weaning her off the pacifier. And Lauren was like, she couldn't get her English, but she wants it. That's what she told her. She wants it. At some point, we had to take it from her. You can't have this no more. You are beyond this.
Yeah.
You're too grown for this. I had a little 5-year-old boy in the subdivision. He done built a ramp, riding a bike. What a pacifier in his mouth. Boy, you on a bike riding a ramp. What you doing with that pacifier in your mouth? You're too old for this. All I'm saying is we have people in different levels in the church. Some may need hands laid on, but at some point you got to make up your mind. I don't need nobody to lay hands on me. I'm going to get this on my own. I'm going to allow this mind to be in me. I'm going to allow this mind to take over my mindset. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 1. In my Bible, the caption says, an everlasting covenant. Watch what he said, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What you think that's talking about?
Time.
He's saying if you ain't got no physical money, that's okay. You got time. Come spend it with me. Come get all the milk. Come get all the meat you need to get. You got time. Come get it. Yeah, how can you buy without physical money?
That's right.
So he wasn't talking about physical money.
Yeah.
Come and buy. I don't care if you ain't got no money. Come and buy. You got this. You got money. You got time.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for which that is not bread? And your labor for that which is not that satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself. When you spend time with the Holy Spirit, your soul is being fulfilled with all the grace, all the power, all the know-how, all the gifts that you need to operate to be fulfilled in this earth realm. See, we were thinking, if I could just get to church on Sunday morning. No, if I could just get to the presence of God. If I can just get to the presence of God. Church is wonderful. We should come to church. We should come to train. We should come together. The Bible says we ought to forsake not the assembling of ourselves. That is a must so we can encourage each other. But just in case I can't get here, I've been trained how to get with God for myself.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 23. You know, apostle, his job is to create an atmosphere for God to move. He's been operating as a pastor also, and a pastor's job is to protect the atmosphere.
Right.
Now, creating and protecting, what we're creating and protecting? We're creating the atmosphere of God and protecting it so that when we come together, we can train without any hindrances.
Yeah.
So that we can learn and be familiar with the presence of God, so that when we are alone, we know how to find that pathway back to the presence of God.
Yes.
So we'll know what to do. We'll know what to say. Remember now, Peter was in the very presence of God and went to talking. Nonsense. When Jesus took him in that mountain, when Jesus took him in that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was so overwhelmed, Peter just saying, Jesus, we need to be three tabernacles and stay right here. Ain't nobody paying attention to nothing Peter said, nothing at all. The Spirit of God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear he him.
Yes.
You have to know what to do when you're in the presence of God. That's the purpose of church. The purpose of church is to train you that when you get in the presence of God, you know what to do. You know what to say. You know how to move. You know what to look for.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs
23.
And 23. Buy the truth. Can somebody here tell me how you buy the truth? Spend time. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also buy wisdom and instructions and buy truth. This ain't got to do with American dollars. This ain't got nothing to do with your debit card. This ain't got nothing to do with your credit card. This got to do with your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How much of your time are you willing to spend for the truth?
Yes. That's good.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How much time are you willing to give up? You know, really, that's all money represents. In the physical realm, money just represents your time.
Yes. Yes.
That's all it represents. You get paid based on how much more time you give.
That's right.
And here it is, Jesus saying, I've given you all the money you need to buy the truth.
Yes.
I've given you all the time you need to spend on truth. And watch this, when you take your time and spend on truth, I'ma add all these things to you.
Wow.
That's what seek ye first means.
Yes.
When you take your time
Yes.
and spend it on truth.
Yes.
He said, I'ma add all these things to you.
Yes.
How he's gonna add all these things to you? Because you're gonna know what to do. You're gonna be one of the wise.
Yes.
You're gonna be in the right place at the right time. Ain't no more missing God. Ain't no more missing him. Do you realize when your heart is right toward God and you spend time with God, it is impossible to miss Him? Because even when you're not in the right place, God will come get you. Do you understand? See, that's the purpose of a prophet. The main purpose of a prophet, listen to me. I don't care what they tell you. The main purpose of a prophet is to bring you back to God's original plan.
Yes.
So if you're not in the right place, God will send you a prophetic word.
That's right. Yes.
To tell you, get back over here. He did it for the widow woman.
Yes.
And what it Kings, our first Kings 17?
Yes, sir.
God told Elijah, go. I have already commanded a widow woman to sustain you. That means God had already talked to her.
Yes.
When he got there, she was trying to walk away from the agenda of God, and the prophetic word rose up in him and said, no, bake me a cake first.
Yes.
All that was doing was she had a heart for God, because if she didn't have a heart for God, she wouldn't have been able to hear God.
That's right.
So she heard God, but she wasn't sure about what God was saying. So God sent a prophetic word to her to put her back in the right position. If you are trying to spend time with God, if you're trying with your whole heart, you're pure in heart.
Yes.
Blessed are the pure in heart,
yes,
for they shall see God.
Yes.
That's simply me. Blessed are those that are pure in heart, and you aim to see God. You aim to be, you're going to see Him.
Yes.
You could be 20 miles out of the way, and God will go out the way to come get you and bring you to where you're supposed to be, and then show up.
Yes.
It has happened to me. I know it has happened to some of us in here, that you could be way off the block. You could be off the path, trying to find God. Your heart is right. God will come and get you and put you right where you're supposed to be, and then come and show up to work with you. I need you to have this understanding. You may be seated. I need you to have this understanding that in order for the body of Christ to be built, we got to be doing the work of the ministry. We can't just depend on the fivefold to do the work of the ministry. For us to do the work of the ministry, that means we got to have these gifts working in our lives. We got to have grace working in our lives. We got to have the power of God working in our lives. We got to be anointed. We got to be apostolic. What it means to be apostolic? Where we go, order takes place.
Yes.
When we show up, things start to line up in order. That's what the apostolic is. The apostolic is getting everything in order. When we show up, things ought to be getting lined up. You don't have to be an apostle, but because you are connected to an apostle, you're connected to the agenda of God, so that means you can go be apostolic. That means God has to work through you.
Yes.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instructions and understanding. Closing with Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Start at verse 14. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Other words is saying, you're looking like everybody else around you. I need you to wake up and realize you're different. Verse 15, he tells us how. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How do we do that? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How you understand what the will of the Lord is? By redeeming. How do you spend your time? How do you spend it? How do you spend your time with God? Watch this. I'm not talking about religious duties here. I'm not talking about praying an hour. If you're led to pray an hour, do it. If you're led to pray two, do it. But I'm talking about redeeming your time. Every second that I am awake, every second that I am asleep, God is able to interrupt me.
Yes.
every moment. I on purpose set time aside to meditate God's word, to think about what he is saying. I set time aside. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Listen, listen. I take time to set aside to listen to what apostle is saying. See, other people get confused with Joshua 1 and 8. See, the pastoral model of Joshua 1 and 8 wants you to believe that it's going to be the Bible alone. But when you go back and read Joshua 1 and 8, it says this book of the law. What book of the law? The book that came from Moses. You see that? He said, this book of the law. He was telling Joshua, when you study what I told Moses, when you meditate on what I told Moses, you're going to be able to do the work of the ministry. When you study what apostle says, it's going to make it clear what God is saying to you. The apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. What the apostle Paul was telling him? He said, just stay close to me, and you eventually will get to a point to where you start hearing Christ for yourself. How much of your money are you willing? I'm not even talking about your dollars now. How much of your time are you willing to spend? How much time are you willing to exchange? Yes. That's going to determine how much God uses you.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. If you're not willing to exchange, remember how two things are happening when you spend time with God. You get to know God, and God gets to know you. If you don't allow God to put in you what he wants to put in you and take out of you what he won't take out, he know he can't use you.
Right.
And you're going to be like the five foolish. When God has ordained in time, predetermined, preordained, Ephesians 1, preordained to work with you, you're not going to be prepared because you ain't spend no time.
Yeah.
You ain't going to have no clue that I'm supposed to be there. You ain't got no clue I'm supposed to be what? What am I supposed to be doing? What God is doing? What is it? Because you don't, your order ran out. Because you didn't take your money and exchange it for truth. So God is going to use you. You got to take your money, your time, and exchange it for truth. If you don't exchange it for truth, God can't use you. God ain't going to just come on people. Because he don't know what you're going to do when he just come on you. He ain't going to just come on you because he don't know what you're going to do. But when you spend time with him, and he spend time with you, he knows what you're going to do. So therefore, he anoints you. He gives you the information you need. He gives you the impartation you need. He gives you the gifts you need to operate at that given moment.
Yes, sir.
So you can be right where he wants you to be when the bridegroom shows up, when the opportunity shows up for ministry to be done in the earth realm, you're where you're supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
But you can't get there if you're not willing to spend that money. I'm saying it on purpose like that. Because money, time is
money.
So when you begin to spend your time, see, this is important. See, this is, it will eliminate the questions about if God is talking to me. It will eliminate if God is speaking to me. When you spend time with God, you will get familiar with his voice. Now watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. You'll get familiar, let me say it this way. You'll get familiar with how God works with you.
Yes, yes.
Because the word voice will sometimes trick us and have us thinking about an audible, decibels. And God might not come to us in an audible voice.
Right.
It might be an inward witness.
Right.
You just, in your knower, you just know.
Yes.
That's how the old folks used to say it. I just know it in my knower.
Yeah.
It's not always an audible voice. It's not always a sign or a wonder. It might be a still, small voice. And the only way you can eliminate the not knowing is by taking that money and spending it. Spending time with God, spending time with the Father on your own. If you don't know how to do it, get with somebody that knows how to do it. Teach me how to spend time with God. Teach me what to do. Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to get this done. Because if not, you're going to be like the foolish virgins without that all. Same opportunity, same everything. You just saying exchange your time for the right thing. Lift your hand if you need a time.